Stroke is a major cause of morbidity and mortality worldwide, and effective treatment requires rapid diagnosis and recognition of relevant vascular lesions. I'm Carmen Leif Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Dr. Brett Graham from the Calgary Stroke Program in Saskatchewan, Canada, lead author of the review Computed Tomographic Angiography in Stroke and High-Risk TIA. Don't leave the ED without it. In this review, the authors discuss the usefulness and versatility of computed tomography angiography in the setting of stroke, highlighting the use of computed tomography angiography in decision-making in transient ischemic attack, acute disabling ischemic stroke, and hemorrhagic stroke.
This is Brett Graham of the Saskatoon Stroke Program here in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Brett, why is CTA considered the standard of care screening investigation for acute ischemic stroke, and in what ways is it a useful tool?
That's a great question. We in Calgary and also in Saskatoon like to consider it the standard care investigation, just because the main thing is it's widely available at this time. At my time in Calgary and here too, now that I'm working, is we kind of want to make stroke care better today, now, not in 5-10 years from now when better advanced technology is there. So CTA is, we like to consider it the standard of care investigation in the setting of acute disabling stroke and also high-risk TIA, because it's pragmatic, it is widely available, it is quick, non-invasive, and there's a lot of things you can glean from it to help you make decisions acutely in the setting of acute stroke, but also in regards to risk stratification of TIA. So a big thing we like to use it initially is to initially screen our high-risk TIAs with CT angiogram to get a good picture of the extracranial and intracranial vessels. And based on that, we can kind of identify the patients who are likely at higher risk for symptom progression or recurrence. And like in the paper, we referenced the CATCH study, which was led by Dr. Coots, one of the co-authors from the Calgary Stroke Program, and they found that individuals presenting with high-risk TIAs who were found to have a what was called a significant vascular lesion, so that would be a 50% or greater stenosis of the extracranial carotids, or 50% or greater stenosis of the intracranial circulation, or an intracranial occlusion, those people were at the highest risk of symptom progression or recurrence in the following days. And this rivaled DWI imaging on MRI. So using CTA right away can help identify these patients who are at high risk for recurrence, might lead to admission to a stroke unit for closer observation. And in the case of an intracranial occlusion, they might be a candidate for rescue thrombectomy if it's a large vessel occlusion at that time. And studies have shown that these people with rescue mechanical thrombectomy do benefit from it. Or at the same time, if it's a more distal intracranial occlusion, they might be a candidate for trial enrollment. As mentioned in the paper, there's the TEMPO 2 study, which again is from the Calgary Stroke Program and Dr. Sheila Coops. And they're looking at people who come in with high-risk TIA or minor stroke, an intracranial occlusion, but essentially a very low NIHSS score, and being randomized to best medical therapy versus low-dose TNK, and looking at recanalization rates and clinical outcome, because this is a small group of patients who are at high risk for clinical deterioration, and at this time we don't have a good therapy for it. So again, using CTA to kind of risk stratify is a very important tool. Furthermore, still talking about TIAs here, it can help you kind of identify the underlying vascular etiology of the TIA. The big one being extracranial carotid stenosis significant. You can identify those patients fast and then refer them on for a carotid intervention, be it an endart or a stent. As research has shown time and time again, the sooner you get this done, the better the outcome, with a number needed of treatable 1 in 4 and preventing further strokes. At the same time, if you detect an intracranial occlusion, these patients require aggressive vascular risk reduction, as well as maybe more prolonged dual antiplatelet therapy, up to 3 months or longer, if you kind of extrapolate the results from the Sampras trial. And then less common, but still high risk for recurrence, you can look for arterial dissections, superimposed free-floating thrombi, carotid webs, and then more rare etiologies like RCVS, suggestion of underlying vasculopathies as well. So basically, using the CTA, the vascular imaging right away of the extracranial, intracranial carotid arteries can provide a wealth of information in regards to risk stratifying TIAs and also tailoring secondary stroke prevention based on the underlying vascular etiology. And that's just the TIA, the secondary stroke prevention. It's also very important in acute disabling ischemic stroke. The ESCAPE trial, which is run from the University of Calgary, one of the big five endovascular trials that showed benefit of endovascular therapy in acute disabling stroke with a large vessel occlusion, supported using CTA in identifying these patients. And in these situations where time is brain, using CT and CTA is very important because it's quick and it's easily interpreted at this time, especially if you add multi-phase CT on that as well. You can get a good look at the size of the stroke. You can get a good look at the vasculature and where the occlusion is. And then at the same time, you can grade the collateral circulation and then kind of make decisions based on, will this person benefit? And in fact, the ESCAPE trial actually used that, the CT-CTA, and ideally with multi-phase for patient selection for the study, and it was positive in the end at that point. So it's paramount to kind of get this information fast, to make your decisions fast, and hopefully intervene fast to save as much brain as possible. Then we also use it also in acute disabling stroke, but hemorrhagic stroke as well. Number one, to rule out secondary causes like an underlying AVM or vascular malformation. But the second time, to glean important information regarding kind of risk of expansion of the hematoma. There's been a number of signs published, like the spot sign and the swirl sign, where you see a bright dot of contrast within the hematoma, suggesting that contrast is escaping from the vessel and suggesting that this hemorrhage is still actively bleeding. And it's actively bleeding, it's expanding, and they're at higher risk of expansion and clinical decline. And a number of recent studies actually used the spot sign to kind of enroll patients, but kind of taking information from those studies, it seems like a lot of these hemorrhages have ultra-early expansion. So moving forward, I'm sure the spot sign will be used again to enroll patients in the hemorrhagic trials.
So what about multi-phase CTA? How does that compare in the emergency setting?
Multi-phase CTA was kind of developed by Dr. Bijoy Menon and his colleagues at the Calgary Stroke Program. And it's basically just adding, kind of gleaning as much as you can from an already established technology. Like I mentioned before, CT and CTA we consider the standard of care because it's available, especially here in Canada. Most of our primary stroke centers have CT and CTA capability. They don't have MR capability, and the few centers that do have MR capability don't have 24/7 access to the MR. And since stroke can happen at any time of the day, having access to rapid imaging is important. And what a multi-phase CTA does, it basically gives us more information in regards to characteristics of the clot, the location of the clot, and also collateral status. So what multi-phase CTA does, you get your initial CTA from the vertex or from the aortic arch to the vertex, and then there's a little bit of a time delay, and then it goes from the skull base to the vertex again, time delay, skull base to the vertex again, and this kind of gives you time-resolved angiograms. At the same time, you kind of watch the blood flow from like a peak arterial phase to an early venous phase to late venous phase. So you watch the blood come in, and you watch it kind of go out, kind of watching the hemodynamics, the perfusion of the brain as well, too, it's, at that point. And using multi-phase CTA, you can kind of grade collaterals at that point, too. And then again, in the ESCAPE trial, collateral grades of kind of fair to good or higher were part of the inclusion criteria, because other research has shown people with poor collateral. So again, it's a surrogate for tissue perfusion. So poor tissue perfusion have larger infarcts at the end of the follow-up imaging, and they infarct faster and have poor clinical outcomes. But those with good collateral, so basically have good tissue perfusion, the blood is using another route to kind of go through the leptomeningeal collateral to kind of perfuse that brain at risk, have smaller infarct size, they infarct slower at that time too. So the same idea is these people have a little bit more time to get to an intervention to remove the clot. And adding the triple phase CTA really kind of brings the clot overgrading up a step further and makes those decisions easier. And furthermore, you can better delineate the size of the clot, and then it helps delineate other characteristics like any kind of forward flow of contrast or permeability, which can be seen on single phase, but sometimes is better on multi-phase as well, and that can give you better ideas of how well it's going to recanalize with intravenous thrombolytic therapy as well, too. So in regards to prognosis, moving forward can help kind of give that information to the stroke physician as well.
Okay, so we've touched a tiny bit on hemorrhage, but what is the relationship between CT and ICH?
Like the relationship in regards to CTA and ICH?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's a very important tool to use in your ICH cases as well, because a lot of these cases will present to the ED as acute strokes, as a stroke alert. And then getting the initial CT can give you the location of the bleed, the size of the bleed, if there's any intraventricular extension and hydrocephalus at that time too. But getting the CTA is important because it can tell you if there's any secondary cause to the bleed, if there's an underlying vascular malformation like an AVM that might require neurosurgical intervention at that time too. So basically says there's a bleed and this is the cause, and you can take the appropriate next steps to kind of address that cause. From an ICH, from say a hypertensive standpoint, it can give you information again in regards to if there's an underlying spot sign. And the spot sign just kind of shows again if there's active bleeding from a vessel. So you see contrast spilling over into the hemorrhage of that sign at that time. And studies have shown that basically the people with the spot sign, especially within the early arterial phases, are at increased risk for expansion over the next little bit. And with the larger clots, or just the larger hemorrhages, they're at high risk for expansion and a decreased clinical outcome. And then these are people you might be more aggressive with blood pressure control. Again, there's recent studies looking at this, and again, haven't been able to glean too much, but then the thought is with these hemorrhages, there's ultra early expansion. So again, moving forward, designing studies, looking for treatment for ICH in the acute setting, the spot sign will likely be used again to identify the patients who are at the highest risk of expansion and therefore poor clinical outcome.
You've been listening to Dr. Brett Graham from the Calgary Stroke Program in Saskatchewan, Canada, lead author for the article Computed Tomographic Angiography in Stroke and High-Risk TIA, Don't Leave the ED Without It, recently published in the IJS. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member.